This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Although their locations, backgrounds, and methods differ, more than one terrorist incident was preceded by posts on Facebook or Twitter denigrating Western countries and pledging allegiance to ISIS. Social media networks have stepped up their campaigns to shut down pro-ISIS propaganda and recruitment accounts, but stopping distribution of gruesome videos and imagery is a slippery task. Relying on algorithms to identify offensive content is tougher with videos, so they have to turn to humans to monitor more than 500 million tweets and more than a billion Facebook logins a day. Hani Farid is chair of Dartmouth's Computer Science Department and senior advisor to the Counter-Extremism Project. He developed PhotoDNA. That was a system used to detect child pornography online and to stop it from spreading. Earlier this summer, similar software was announced to flag terrorist propaganda online. We wanted to check in on the progress, and Hani's joining us now from Dartmouth. Professor Farid, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So the origins, again, in PhotoDNA software. Now, how does that system work to keep child pornography from spreading?
That's right. So the work that we're doing now in the extremism space has its roots in the child pornography space dating back to 2008. And back in 2008, in collaboration with Microsoft and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, we developed a technology that would allow social media sites, technology companies, internet service providers to find, remove, and report child pornography. And the way that technology works is it leverages the fact that NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, has a stash of millions and millions of known child pornography. This is content that has been reviewed by humans. In many cases, we know the person in the photo. And we also know that that imagery continually, year in and year out, gets redistributed. And so what we do is we reach into those individual images and we extract from them a unique digital signature that allows us to compare the signature of images being uploaded to, say, Facebook or Twitter or to YouTube or to wherever, and just simply ask, is this a known bad content? And if it is, then it gets, of course, flagged and reported and removed from the online service. So in that way, sort of the important distinction here is that we're not literally going into the images and trying to reason about the content. We are looking at known bad content, extracting a signature, and then comparing that against the content that is being uploaded.
That PhotoDNA software has been made available by Microsoft. You would be using the same kind of filter for terrorist videos. So does that mean you have to go in, look at videos, and tag the content?
Yeah, and so just to be clear, the PhotoDNA worked explicitly and only on images. So we have had to develop a new technology that works on videos and audios, which has its own technical challenges. But yes, you're absolutely right. Somebody has to initially look at the image, the images, the videos, and the audio recordings, assess whether they are extremism-related, assess whether they violate the terms of service. And that's a hard job. Let's make no mistake about it.
Sounds terrible.
It's terrible. And by the way, this is also done in a child pornography space, which is also terrible. Mm. But the good news is, once it is done once, that is the last time you have to do it, because then the technology takes over.
What kinds of terrorism-related content would then be flagged?
Right. Well, that's the right question to ask. So let's separate out two things. There's the technology that allows us to find, report, and remove. And then there's the decisions that have to be made as to what will be found, removed, and reported. And that's where things get very interesting. So in the same way, in the child pornography space, what we did is we said, look, we are going to go after the worst of the worst. So we are going to go after images of children who are 12 years and younger and where there is explicit sexual contact. So we stay very far away from the line of what may or may not be considered child pornography. In the counter-extremism space, we do something very similar. There are videos, audios, and images that show explicit violence, people getting their heads cut off, people getting executed. There are explicit calls to violence. Do this bad thing to this individual, this group, or this organization. And those types of images and video and audio recordings clearly violate terms of service. There's no question about that. And those are the material that we are going after at the initial stages.
I'm just curious, though, what happens after something is flagged? It's just taken down? It's no longer distributed on the internet?
Right. So that's a policy question that has to be determined by the tech companies. But for the most part, if it's child pornography, it's illegal, it violates terms of service, it gets taken down. It may or may not be reviewed by somebody manually at the tech company, but as a matter of law, it has to be reported to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. In the extremism space, decisions have to be made. Some tech companies may say, automatic takedown, we know what this material is, we trust the technology. Others may decide they want to report it to the Counter-Extremism Project so that they stay aware of what's happening. Others may want to report it to law enforcement. Those are interesting questions and interesting discussions and decisions that will have to be made across the board. And we don't have solid answers because nobody has actually deployed this technology yet.
So how do you envision this digital tool working in concert with the strategy to combat ISIS?
Yeah, so this is a multidimensional problem, right? There are geopolitical issues, there are economic issues, there are religious issues, there are social issues, and there's a technology component to it. And here's what we know about extremist group, and we're not just talking about ISIS. We are talking about extremism in the broadest possible definition, from white supremacists to groups like ISIS. And these groups have gotten very sophisticated over the last few years. And no matter what campaign we are seeing happening from these groups, there is a digital component to that, whether it's at the front end with the radicalization and the recruiting, whether it's during the actual campaign when they are live streaming the video of the attack, to afterwards where they are streaming video showing the attack. And every attack that we have seen in the last few years has this digital footprint to it. And that's the part that we want to sort of remove, this incredible global stage that these organizations have. We don't think that they should have the right to recruit and promote these violent views. And we want to sort of take that tool away from them. Now, of course, they have other tools that need to be dealt with by other organizations. But from our perspective as technologists, we'd like to remove that platform from them.
Hani Farid is with us. He's chair of Dartmouth's Computer Science Department, also works with the Counter-Extremism Project, talking about a software that he helped develop that detects child pornography online that could be used in applications for detecting and flagging and taking down extremist videos from ISIS and other extremist groups. Well, so you talked about collaborating with the government and talking with social media networks, but some of those social media networks have hesitated to embrace this system. What are their concerns?
That's absolutely right. And just for historical record, they also hesitated to deploy the technology in the child pornography space.
So what changed the tide there?
Well, I think it was a combination of things. I think we developed a technology with Microsoft. Microsoft deployed it. They started using it. They started finding a spectacular amount of content. And then Facebook signed up. And then Twitter signed up. And then it was an avalanche after that. Because now you can't say, well, the technology doesn't exist. You can't say that we can't do this because it's technically impossible. You can't say that it's going to impede our business model, because there is a proof of concept. And there is growing pressure from tech, from the government, and from consumers saying, why aren't you doing more? And I think now, 10 years later, we can look back and say, well, yes, this was absolutely the right thing to do, and there was no question about it. But during the process, it was a slog, and it was difficult, and there were hard conversations, and there was reluctance. And we're seeing exactly the same conversations now in the counter-extremism space as we saw 10 years ago in the child pornography space. I understand the conversations. That's not a criticism. These are big decisions that you have to make, and you want to think thoughtfully about removing content from your network. But to be clear, we are not talking about removing content that is dissent or political speech. We are talking about removing content that clearly, 100%, no questions asked, black and white, violates terms of service. So we are not defining for these tech companies what their terms of service are. We are simply reading them, the thing that you click on OK and without reading, and saying, look, you clearly say you cannot do this. And to be clear, the companies have the right to do this. Facebook and Apple don't allow adult pornography, which is protected speech, and nobody is jumping up and down on their heads about that. So the companies have the right to remove the content that they believe violates their terms of service as they define it. And we are simply creating a mechanism, a global industry standard that allows them to do that efficiently.
Is there any way for an individual user to use this kind of technology? Say, a parent who wants to limit what their children see on television, you know, could this kind of filtering system be used to limit what an individual user can see?
In theory, yes. In practice, no. So as with photo DNA in the child pornography space and this new technology that we've developed, we actually restrict the licensing very carefully because we actually want it to be used in a very specific way, and in particular in the child pornography space and the extremism space. And so we actually limit the technology very carefully, and it's only made available to technology companies. So this is not a widely distributed software that you can download and run on your computer. This sits at the pipe of a Facebook, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Microsoft, a Google, and it evaluates the content that is being uploaded. So that's why I said in theory, yes, but we don't make it available for that purpose.
So you said that you're in negotiations with the tech companies, that this is in development. Where is it all at right now?
Yeah, so the technology is in really good shape. We are at the tail end. I mean, we're literally weeks away from having a fully deployable system up and running with an interface that technology companies can use. The conversation with the technology companies is ongoing. We've had very good and constructive conversations with Microsoft and Facebook, but these are difficult decisions that have to be made. They will take a while to flesh out. So our model is build it and they will come. Build the technology, start to show that we can do this in a way that is thoughtful and respectful of the rights of the companies and the users, and is an effective technology that can be used in a very narrowly defined space to deal with what is unarguably a pretty serious problem that we are facing. I mean, everybody from President Obama down have started talking about the role of technology in the fight against extremism. And I think eventually the tech companies are going to have to step up and do something. You can only ignore this problem for so long, in my opinion.
Well, Hani Farid, thank you very much for speaking with us.
It was good to talk to you.
Hani Farid, he's chair of Dartmouth's Computer Science Department and senior advisor to the Counter-Extremism Project. He developed technology to fight the spread of child pornography online and is now in negotiations to use it to curb terrorist propaganda on social media platforms. You can read much more about his work, including a thorough article that we read from The Atlantic. Links are at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.